The title of this message is Misbelieving. Misbelieving. A lot of people down through history have misbehaved. We always hear about people misbehaving. Well, people can also misbelieve. On the part of those misbelieving, on the part of the victims that they have counted. As you look up here on this chart is called a Trail of Blood chart. Now, there were two people there, two groups of people. There were the ones misbelieving, and there's the ones that are object of the torture of those that were misbelieving. In other words, the victims. They were the misbelieving, and then they were the victims of the misbelieving. We look down through history, and we see a lot of people misbelieving. Go way back to the time of Adam. Adam was in the Garden of Eden, over here. Adam knew that there was a God. He knew and walked with him personally. There is no doubt Adam was not an atheist. Adam was not an agnostic. He saw and knew God. He experienced the love of God and the care of God. And yet he misbehaved and took what was not his and what was God's, and that was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Remember, that's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Good first. When he took this tree, he realized how great and how good God was and how good he had been. And then how evil he was. And how evil have he begun. And he realized how terrible that his life was in the sight of a holy God. God pronounced death upon them, but he also pronounced a promise. And the promise was that from the seed of the woman, that there would be a Savior. And man and woman became one. Man and woman had a child. Had children, actually. Eve probably had multiple births. By the way, Adam changed her name. The woman's name was Ishah, which means out of man. Man is Ish. Woman's name was Ishah, out of man. But when the curse was pronounced upon the human race and upon Adam and Eve, Adam says, and named her again, gave her a new name, it says the mother of all living. She would actually be the mother of all dying. But in the Christ child, she would be the mother of all living. So he looked toward that, not the death. They had the child, the firstborn child, the first child that came out of Eve's womb was Cain. Cain, that's the way you say it in Hebrew. Cain named means gotten. And Eve says, look, behold, I have gotten a man, even Jehovah. The one who shall become. The one who had become, they thought. That wouldn't happen until the New Testament times when Jehovah would become flesh in John 1:14. Great disappointment. Misbelieving and misbehaving. Cain thought that he could appease his God by his own work, the works of his own hands. Which was, he was a farmer, and he brought forth to God the fruit of the earth, the fruit of the ground. Now the ground had been cursed, and the fruit had been cursed. So he took a cursed offering from a cursed earth and expected God to accept it. Now, God had told him very well how to come to him, and that was through the blood of an innocent animal. The first act of misbelieving, he believed in God. Cain believed in God, and the Bible says that Cain was approached by Jehovah God, and Jehovah God reasoned with him. Reasoned with him and saying, Cain, if you divide correctly, if you tithe, Cain, that's what it means there. If you tithe from what is yours, Cain, if you divide correctly and you offer the right sacrifice, won't your face shine? Won't you be glad? Won't you have a smile on your face? What was Cain's answer to God? Personally? Cain was not an agnostic. Cain was not an atheist. But he misbelieved. And he wanted God to accept what he wanted to offer. God did not. His brother, he met out in the field afterwards. The Bible says that Cain's nose just glowed with anger. His face shone with anger. Red-faced anger. When his brother came up to him in the field, he slew his brother. And then walked away as if nothing had happened. Then Jehovah God approached him again. He says, Cain, where is your brother? He said, am I my brother's keeper? He said, where's your brother? He said, your brother's blood's, plural, cry from the dirt. Now, Cain, you're cursed, doubly cursed. He said, I can't stand it. So God put a protection sign upon him that would protect him. It was an oath. God put an oath upon Cain that whoever seen him would realize that God was going to protect him, even in all of his sin and the result of murder, and the price of murder was you would give your life for it. And God spared his life. But did he believe? No, he continued to misbelieve. All the way down through the ages, we have seen, when we come over here to the age of conscience, God told man to scatter and multiply. What'd they do? They misbelieved. They built a tower. Nimrod built a tower, and he said, don't worship God of heaven, worship me and my mother. And there we have the Madonna and child. That's where that became from. That's misbelief. Misbelieving. Because of that, God confused the languages and he divided the earth. People misbelieve on that also. People say, well, how did the Indians get over here? Cross that bridge? I say, no. The Indians got here because God confused the languages. They went on the piece of the earth where this was. This continent didn't become. It always was one piece of ground, and God divided it. In the days of Peleg, God divided the earth, and the American Indians were here all the time. They were always here. They didn't wander here. They were always here. That's what the Bible teaches. Joseph Smith and many people in his time, there was a book called Paradise Lost that a Presbyterian pastor, James Spaulding, I think his name was, wrote this book. The book was the Book of Mormon. It was a novel. Somehow Joseph Smith got a hold of that and built up a theology behind it. Misbelieving. Muhammad in his time, the Arab culture was full of superstition. jinns and all types of evil demon spirits. Why mankind has always sought to worship. You know, one of the things when we study systematic theology, we're in about number 146 now. We're going to be preaching on systematic theology. We're doing eschatology, the end times. But one of the very first things that God tells us from his word, that God puts in every man the knowledge that there is a God, doesn't he? For you to misbelieve, you have to deny there's a God in your own heart. You have to do violence to your own heart and your own mind, your own conscience. And then you have to blind yourself to the creation of God. Right now, I'm looking at Boundary and Montgomery Peak, and I can look over that way and I can see White Mountain. And between here and there, I see tremendous amounts of life forms. And every one of those life forms, whether it's animal or vegetable, is saying, I am a creation of the Creator. I am a creation of the Creator. As you look at your body, you look at your form, you look at... I know girls think boys are really handsome. And girls think, or boys think girls are really pretty. Yes, that's the way it's supposed to be. But something got wrong there. Now we have homosexuality and we have misbelieving. It's natural for a man to look at a woman and to desire a woman. I heard the testimony of a Mormon man here a while back that was actually a prophet in the church, he said. He was married and his wife was pregnant. And there was a woman, another Mormon woman, come into his home, and he had this warm feeling all over. And he looked at that woman, and he thought that God told him that was going to be his next wife and that his wife would die, and that was going to be his next wife. Well, in Mormonism, you know, polygamy is okay in all reality. There are groups of Mormons that practice polygamy. Well, in this, what we might call division of the church, of Mormonism, they believed in polygamy, like Joseph Smith and Brigham Young, but not all of them practiced. But this man thought that God had spoken to him and spoken to his heart. So he told this woman his desire, and they consummated their marriage because he thought his wife was going to die in childbirth. Well, it came along that the woman had a child, a healthy child, and she was healthy. And he was really dumbstruck about this. What's going on here now? God, didn't you tell me that this was okay with your spirit? Didn't you say that this is what you wanted me to do? And he told his wife in the hospital what he had done. And he went home and kicked the other woman out of his home. She was living secretly as his wife. He said later on, when he finally realized that feelings, you can't trust feelings. You trust the revelation. God, first of all, reveals to you himself through your heart, through your spirit. Secondarily, he reveals it through his creation. And then thirdly, he reveals it through specific revelation. And our specific revelation is God's word. It's God's word. That's it. That's the final answer to everything. Now the world is very confused. We have people out there misbelieving. They call themselves atheists, and they call themselves agnostic. They're misbelieving because they believe in that system. We have Mormons out there that misbelieve. We have Jehovah's Witnesses that are very earnest in what they believe, but they're misbelieving. We have Buddhists that are misbelieving. We have Hindus that are misbelieving. People that are misbelieving. Now, Satan, if you look up here underneath this chart, you'll see Satan up there and you'll see his path. Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, we find out what he did in eternity past. Now, the Jews have a different view of Satan than what Christians do. The Jewish people believe that Satan was created by God and that God uses him to tempt the believers. Now, as Christians and Bible believers, we don't believe that, do we? Satan is in opposition to God. God is not using him to tempt you. Satan is tempting you of his own. It's not God's will that he would tempt you, but he does. Satan tempts us. Satan in Matthew, the fourth chapter, tempted even Jesus, our Savior and our God. And he finally says, Satan, get thee behind me. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. There are many mysteries in the world. People misbelieve. People are drawn to mysteries, and they're drawn, mysteries comes from the Greek word mysterion, which means a secret. Now, the supernatural is very intriguing, isn't it? Right over here, not too far from here, about 62 miles from my house, is a hotel. It's called the Mizpah Hotel. And there are people that go over there because they want to see a ghost. Because they say the place is haunted. If you go about another 40 miles on down Highway 390 from there, you'll come to the Goldfield Hotel, not the Tonopah. Not in Tonopah, but in Goldfield, Nevada. There were two great hotels, the Mizpah in Tonopah and the Goldfield Hotel in Goldfield, Nevada. Both of them, they say, are haunted. Now, as a Christian, I don't believe in ghosts. But I believe the spirit world is just as real as the world we live in. There are good ghosts and bad ghosts, they say. The world over there in the Tonopah, Nevada, at the Mizpah Hotel, if you're blessed, they say, by the woman in red visiting you, what does she do? She leaves a pearl on your pillowcase in your room. Misbelieving people. I don't doubt that spirits haunt either one of those places, but there are no ghosts. That lady in red was a young woman that was murdered by her lover. She was a prostitute. And her lover was mad and he killed her on the fifth floor of the Mizpah Hotel. And they see all kinds of things happening. Poltergeist. Poltergeist. I know of people that, and I have seen strange things in my life. I know the spirit world is real. And I know that in the spirit world there are powers. Now we're not talking about the good spirits. The Lord tells us to try the spirits. For many of them will try to lead us astray. And I'll tell you another thing, that Satan will use the supernatural to lead people astray. I was listening to a series of messages today as I was studying. I was reading two books and listening as I was cooking and cleaning house and things this morning. And I listen to the people that are King James only, and they make all kinds of excuses why the King James Bible is the only inspired Bible. What did the Christians do before King James? The Bible was not written in English. It was written in Greek and Hebrew, and a little bit in the Old Testament in Aramaic. Those versions of the Bible are the inspired Bible. We don't have any of the original autographs. But we, and you have to realize this too, that the spirits, that the misbelieving ones, the Catholic Church in 1229 completely forbid anybody to have any Bible. And they burned every Bible they could burn. But all the way back to the 3rd and the 4th centuries, the Catholic Church was burning Bibles. You could only have a Bible in the Latin Vulgate, and the Latin Vulgate was not the inspired Word of God. That's what Jerome translated it into, and he didn't do a real good job of it. Erasmus told the Catholic Church, he was a Catholic priest, he said, you know what? He said, I could translate the Bible in Latin a lot better than Jerome. He made a lot of mistakes, and they denounced him. Jerome was the greatest Latin and Greek scholar in his time. Erasmus. A lot better than Jerome was there in Bethlehem, where he translated the Latin Vulgate. The Latin Vulgate is a translation. But the canons of the Catholic Church declared that it was the inspired Word of God. And I think that's the way, by misbelieving, by misinformation, people believe that the King James Version is the only version of the Bible. Now, I can preach from King James, but you have to realize where King James came from. King James of England had a translation of the Bible done to combat the Baptist of his day and to combat the Catholics. Misbelieving. Even so-called scholars out there, and I don't think there's a single solitary real scholar that believes in King James only. Misinformation. Misbelieving. If they studied the original scriptures, we know that there's families of manuscripts. We have possibly 3 manuscripts that go all the way back to Constantine's time when he ordered 50 complete Bibles made in 3 and 4 columns. The Codex Sinaiticus, it could be one. Pretty good chance of it. The Codex Vaticanus is one. And the Codex Alexandrius is probably another. Those go back then. Now there's older Bibles than that. But you have to realize that Satan was doing his dead level best to burn every Bible, because that is God's direct revealed will. Many people believe what they believe because it's the way they feel about it. They feel it's okay. They feel it's all right. As I listened to this Mormon man the other day, he said, the Mormons are absolutely all feeling. If you feel bad about something, that's from Satan. If you feel good about it, it's from God. They tell their missionaries, when you go out and if somebody starts talking to you about Christianity and you start feeling bad in your heart, run. That is not God that's making you feel bad, but it is Satan making you feel bad. He's going to take you out of the clutches of the church. So when they're convicted by the Holy Spirit of God, they think that's bad. That's a bad feeling because it feels bad. Superstition is a great origin of disbelief or misbelieving. All the way back to Nimrod, 3 and 4,000 BC, we have objects of worship. And all of it was, is that there are demons out there, bad spirits and good spirits. You got to appease the good spirits and ward yourself away from the bad spirits. And these spirits, by the way, the word demon means what? Little God. Mm-hmm. Little supernatural beings. There are supernatural beings out there. Man has always been absolutely He wants to have eternal life, unless you're a Buddhist. And if you're a Buddhist, you want to have eternal death and what we call nirvana. In other words, you go out of existence and then you get to rest. Otherwise, you've got to be reincarnated from one flea to a rat and a mouse, an elephant, a tiger, and who knows what. The only way you can get rest is going to nirvana, go into a ceasing existence. That's what Buddha wanted. Reincarnation. A lot of people believe in reincarnation. The American Indian culture now is full of reincarnation. Misinformation. Misbelieving. Voodoo. Wicca. Haunted houses. The Stanley Hotel. In the Rockies. The movie The Shining, we see evil spirits that take over people's lives and minds and hearts. Do evil spirits take over people's minds and hearts? Yes. Evil spirits can use you to so-called do God's will, they think. The Catholic Church killed between 50 and 100 million believers. And they burned every Bible they could lay their hands upon. And then in 570 AD, we have Muhammad that came along. Muhammad was they say he had big ears. He listened a lot. He took a conglomeration of all kinds of cultures, including Gnosticism and everything, rolled it up into his brand new religion, misbelieving. And the most prolific religion in the world today is not Christendom or Christianity, it is Islam. Misbelieving. Religion's misbelieving. You go down to Haiti. You go down into Haiti, and you'll find every one of them believe in the supernatural. 70% of them are Catholics. 30% of them are some sort of Protestant, especially charismatic. But 100% of them believe in voodoo. Did you get that? 70% of them are Catholics. 30% of them are Protestants, mostly charismatic. But 100% of them believe in voodoo. Misbelieving. Is voodoo real? Yes, voodoo is real because it has spirits behind it. Is atheism real? Do people believe that there is no God, except for when they die, 1 second after they die, they do believe in God. But they're misbelieving into a false evidence, they think, in their hearts. Catholics and Pentecostals or charismatics are easily led astray. And why do I say that? Why can he say that? Okay, let's just look at this for a moment. The Catholics don't believe in the Bible as the only revealed rule of faith and practice. They believe in all of the evolution of Catholicism. And every bit of that goes away from the Bible. As a Christian, I believe that the Bible is fully, 100% inspired, and it is God's revealed will to us. And we have nothing else. That's it. We don't need any further inspiration. The Catholic Church believes in continuous revelation through their popes, their apostles. There are many denominations of Islam. Some of them believe in further revelation, and some of them believe in interpretation of the revelations. But it's continuous. You can get the traveler's guide there, and it'll tell you all of what Sharia law is. And Islam is the only religion in the world that has the most biggest campaign and propaganda telling you that they don't believe what they believe and they don't practice what they practice. Let me say that one more time. Islam spends more time telling you that they don't believe what they believe and they don't practice what they practice. And you get to the leaders of Islam, at least the leaders, the imams, and they're led astray by the misinformed, by the misbelieving ones. The misbelieving ones. Believe in a culture, believe in a system of reclaiming yourself with God, a religion. Yet it is further digging your grave in hell. Digging deep in the bottomless pits of hell. The Inquisition. The Inquisition. Look over here when that was. Right here is the Inquisition in 1231 AD. Oh, the Crusades that went back and took the Holy Land back. That land's not holy. It was a God who walked on it that is holy. They fought across the Mediterranean back and forth, murdering each other. Back and forth, murder, and mayhem. By 632 AD, when Muhammad had died, he pretty much had conquered all of Arabia with his armies. People weren't converted by intelligence, they were converted by fear and the sword. If you didn't believe, you had to pay jizya, you had to pay a tax to stay alive. That's protection money. Misbelieving. Misbelieving all the time. Islam has killed over 170 million people. And growing stronger, 270, and growing stronger every day because they killed somebody every day. Somebody dies someplace in the world because of Islam. Somewhere, today, you listen to the news tonight, something's going to happen someplace because of misbelieving. Witch hunts, the Salem witch trials, all of these things are misbelieving. People died because of others misbelieving. The Bible says, for if you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died on the cross of Calvary and that he stayed in the burial in the ground, that he rose again, and he is the only intercessor between God and man, that's Jesus Christ. Jesus said, no man comes unto the Father except by me. Yet people are laden down with superstitions. And this is only the first message on misbelieving. The victims of misbelieving are on both sides. The aggressors and the victims. Because the aggressors think that they're doing the right thing. And yet they're murdering in the name of some false misbelieving religion. The Bible says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Ephesians 2 and 8 says, for in grace you're having been saved through faith, and that not out of yourself. There's nothing you can do to come to God. It's all by grace. That's it. It's all by grace. For in grace you're having been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are created unto Christ, unto good works, because we're born again. Misbelieving ones always have to do something to get to heaven, and keep on doing something to get to heaven. Why do Catholics and why do charismatics so misled? Because there are no boundaries When you believe in continual revelation, there's no boundary. Whose revelation is right and whose revelation is wrong? Islam. They believe in Muhammad. But his information was wrong. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the only Savior of the world. Our Father, we send this message out to people all over the world that will touch their hearts, bring them to you. Help them witness to their neighbors, their families, their friends. Help them to get out of the chains of unbelief, the chains of misbelieving. Father, I know it will take your Spirit to do it all, because it's a miracle every time somebody brought out of a culture, an ism or something. Father, I pray for all my students all over the world. Touch their hearts with these words. And Father, continue to watch over us. Continue to watch over my wife and help her. The medicines and things help her with her heart condition. Forgive me where I